Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticost. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled The Healing Power of Prayer and Worship. This morning, we are going to study a crisis situation that occurred in the life of King Jehoshaphat. And so our study will be taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. But before we go there, I would like to read from Jeremiah 17. Because as a basis for this show, I want to have a biblical definition of healing or to heal and what that means according to the biblical document. That word heal or healing has many meanings today. So here from Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm going to be reading from verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. So the word in Hebrew, heal, is rapha, and it means to sew together or to mend. And for us, in this particular verse, it is given in what is called the Cal imperative. In Hebrew, Cal is the simple active voice. And of course, the imperative denotes urgency. And so let me continue. So rapha means to sew together or to mend, to heal by sewing up a wound. This word also occurs in Isaiah 19:22, Isaiah 30:26, and Job 5:18. There are many other passages where this word occurs. But I want this as a foundational term so that, again, we reestablish our minds. We have the mindset of the ancient Hebrew who thought in concrete terms. And so here's a very concrete picture for us as we go into our study in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning, which deals with the King Jehoshaphat and the Moabite crisis. It is interesting that both Asa, his father, and Jehoshaphat were godly individuals, godly kings. In chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, this godly King Jehoshaphat is faced with a crisis. When Jehoshaphat came to power, one of the first things he did, we read in chapter 17, verse 3, we read that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David, in the ways that his father David has followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. the Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. Again, let me state that the word faith, as we use it today, is not found in the ancient Hebrew text. That word has been imposed upon the text by very well-meaning translators. What we have learned from Hebrew culture is that faith, that is trusting God, reliance upon God, to lean upon God, was demonstrated by one's action. And not by what one said or one said. It is demonstrated by actions. Again, very concrete. By one's actions, we know who he or she is by one's actions. And the Lord Jesus himself said, by their fruit shall know them. Now, that has been very disturbing to some people in the past in my counseling ministry who do not like that. And it's very disturbing to them. But that is the biblical... This is divine revelation. And so the heart is revealed for what it is, truthfully, through divine revelation. And notice what he did. Notice what Jehoshaphat did in verse 7. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, Micaiah to teach in the towns of Judah. With them were certain Levites, Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemaramoth, and Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob Adonijah. The priests, Elishama and Jehoram, they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. Please note the repetition of the word taught. Please note this very important term, lamad. In Hebrew, L-A-M-E-D, Lamad. And this word is given in what we call the PL infinitive, and it's an intensive, or it is given in the intentional form. And so there is an intentional, it denotes an intentional action. Lamad is an interesting term because fundamentally, yes, it means to teach, but it also means to chastise. Means to strike and to beat with a rod. So it's a very, very interesting term. Jehoshaphat loved his people, and he knew that they needed the word of God. And the word of God would be the healing agent. The word of God is the balm of Gilead. The word of God heals. If I fall and break my leg and the bone is not set properly, then I'm going to have problems. If something is broken or is not right in my life, spiritually, I am not going to mend properly. And if I try salves and solutions that are not the Word of God, I cannot be certain of my healing. On the other hand, with the Word of God, I can be certain, I can be assured that healing will be proper, appropriate, and the healing that I need takes place in my life. So again, the word healing in the Hebrew, rapha, means to sew up a wound. Our souls can be wounded, and our souls can carry old wounds. We can be so wounded that we live in the past and we carry in our hearts old wounds that we may have forgotten but are nevertheless there within our hearts. One individual has said of this type of life, if one can call it such, he said that we bury something that is still alive. And because it is still there buried in our hearts, it is still active, it is still vital, therefore it is still alive, and we have not made peace in our hearts with that situation. Jehoshaphat wanted his people healed. He wanted his nation healed. And so he sent out these very capable teachers in order to instruct the people of God. Notice, Lamad, Lamad, Lamad. Doesn't say that he sent out the teachers, instructors to preach at the people. People do not need to be preached at. People need to be lifted up, edified. That means to be built up. According to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 7 of Colossians 2, rooted and built up in him. That is the definition of edification, to be built up in the faith. And so the foundation of appropriate faith and worship, praise and worship, is edification, to be rooted and built up in him. When one is rooted and built up in him, that is the living Christ, then prayer is vital and powerful. And Jehoshaphat understands the necessity of a godly nation and a godly people. See, he followed the Lord. And so when we get, when we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we read about the Moabite crisis, we're going to see what this king is made of. We're going to see if he has the right stuff. We're going to see if indeed his soul has been stabilized. He himself has been stabilized in the Word of God. Notice the situation that is presented to us very carefully. Note this situation very carefully in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Notice that. Came to make war on Jehoshaphat. He was unprovoked. He did not attempt to take over their territory. neither to create rancor or to make these individuals come against him. They came against him of their own accord. They wanted this conflict. There's nothing in his walk or in the life of Jehoshaphat that would have precipitated this type of situation. Verse 2, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon, Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now, verse 3 is very interesting, because here the king has received the news of this invasion. And so the first word in verse 3 in my translation, transliteration, is the verb alarmed and resolved. And notice how these two words are placed in the text. We have the emotional reaction is alarmed, and then we see that he is alarmed, but he is also resolved. He is alarmed by the crisis. He is alarmed by what has happened. And they are there. They're on his doorstep, as it were, with the intention of completely overthrowing him, or he and his kingdom. And so we have a very serious threat, a very serious crisis, a vast army. And so this should have created incredible fear in the heart of Jehoshaphat. But notice, you read he was alarmed and he was resolved. And so what was his resolve? His resolve was this, to inquire of the Lord. Now you and I know that if Jehoshaphat had had any serious character issues going on in his life, any serious emotional problems, that there is no way he would have both been alarmed and resolved. He would have turned inward. And this situation would have created eyes on self. There would have been a very subjective introspection as to why is this happening to me, or why did this thing happen to me. It would have been very subjective. And a crisis always reveals what really is going on within the individual. Crisis reveals who the individual is. And so there could have been the reaction on his part. Could have been. He could have reacted in a very fleshly manner during this situation with upon receiving this news. Instead, he was alarmed at the arrogance and the hubris of this act, this vast army. But he was also resolved to inquire of the Lord. These words are very important to us. We need to carefully note what is going on here for the king, what he is modeling for his people in the face of this threat, to inquire of the Lord. So he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up, assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms, not only my kingdom, but also over the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Menuites. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. You rule. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones there before the Lord. And notice the structure of this wonderful prayer. Verse 6, the king in this wonderful prayer states who God is. Who God is. In verse 7, he states what God did in the past. And in verses 8 and 9, he talks about the future, what God will do in the future. In verse 9, the king states, we will stand. And notice that in this wonderful prayer, at the center of this prayer, each statement is linked by a key word. Verse 9, we will stand. Verse 17, stand firm. Stand firm is given. The people are encouraged by this prayer. And please notice also that we are told in verse 5 that the king stood up. In verse 13, we're told that all the men of Judah, their wives, children, and little ones, stood before the Lord. The people follow their leaders, and the king stood. They did not hear or see their king whining. They noted the stature of the king. They noted the presence of the Spirit of God in his demeanor. They noted the wonderful grasp that the king had of the word of God. The king's prayer showed that he understood the continuity of the divine presence in their lives. Verse 6, who God is. In verse 7, what he did in the past. And indeed, there are many people who, when they find themselves in a crisis and pushed into crisis mode, and then there is that paralysis of analysis, and they are frozen, they don't know what to do, because they have not made the spiritual connection that if God was with me in the past, and God saw me through this, will he not also see me through this present situation? He has not brought me to, not to bring me through. See, the eyes of faith knows this very vital truth, this very important connection. The eyes of faith understand this very important reality, that God is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this, the praise and worship that I am going to be teaching about, is praise and worship that takes place on the battlefield of life. It is important to understand the context in which praise and worship is spoken about in the scriptures. This is a theology for the battlefield, for life, for where we are. The Savior said, be ye in the world, but not out of the world as a source. He also said in John's Gospel that in this world you will have tribulation. In this world you will have tribulation. In the Greek it literally reads, in this world you will be in tight places. If you find yourself in a tight place this morning, let me recommend praise and worship. Let me recommend that you get your soul centered in the living God, that you create that homeostasis within your soul that you need in order to see your situation aright. None of the teaching on pneumaticos is theoretical. Teaching on pneumaticos is practical and battlefield tested. I want to assure you of that, that God is able, that is, God is powerful, and God has the ability to move in a powerful way in your situation. Praise and worship, your prayer. Let your prayer build you up. Let your prayer see you through. Let your prayer cleanse your vision as to who God is and what he can do. Let your prayer guide your decision. Let your prayer guide your resolve. Yes, you may be alarmed, but have the resolve to inquire of the Lord and be guided by his Spirit. Be not afraid. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. Beloved, I will speak with you next time on the Pneumaticos. Have a wonderful day.